Your friends are going to miss you. All righty. Here we go. Well, I want to just welcome everyone to Parish Christian Center this morning. God is so good. We're so glad to see you here. I'm thankful for everything that God has done. And, you know, I always feel the need to disclose things. How many of you get into things and you don't know what you got into and you're thinking, what did I just get myself up into? Well, I like to give people, Brother Van, a little bit of a disclosure about myself, or else people will be blown out of the water. And so I don't like to shock people, but I'm going to just go ahead and tell you I'm not every other pastor. I'm not going to look like every other pastor. I'm not going to sound like every other pastor. I've tried to be stationary behind a pulpit, and really I just have to be me, because that's the way the Word of God is going to come out of me the best, is just to be the best version of the pastor that I'm supposed to be. And I thank God for all that He's doing. I'm going to ask you, if God has given you the strength to stand up today, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. I don't know, you know, what a lot of other places do, but what I know is that church is not a spectator sport. Church is a place that you go to and you take a part. You get involved. You serve. Brother Charlie, will you make sure that that door is shut? Thank you. Fabulous. Boys in the sound booth, at this moment you should have music going on. Thank you. Once again, I thank God for being able to be in His house. How many of you are thankful to be in the house of God? Amen. How many of you can say, you know what, the devil has come at me this week, the every which way that he tried to, every which way to discourage me, to keep me bound up, to get me upset, to get me depressed, to get me to walk into fear, to get me to walk into doubt. And I want to tell you today that God is bigger than your problem. I want to tell you, I don't know how you came in here today, but God loves you. God's not expecting perfection out of you. What He expects is for you to give Him your whole heart. To say, God, here I am. God, you take every part of me. God, the parts that I'm proud of, God, take those and use them. God, the things that I'm not proud of, God, I ask that you take them too. And God, that you'd use those. What I've learned about God is that God can use every single thing about you. A lot of us think, now God couldn't use that. That wasn't a good part of my life. No, God can use that. God is the God of the mountain. God is the God in the valley. I want you to begin to lift your hands up. Why? Because, see, God wants to meet you right where you're at this morning. He wants to meet you in that place where the devil tried to get you to fail this week. He wants to meet you in the place where you got depressed this week. He wants to get you in that place where you can walk in faith and get that victory. Amen. God, I thank you right now for every person, Lord, that's going to hear this word that you prepared for them. God, I plead the blood of Jesus over every single one of them, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask that you would walk up and down each and every single aisle this morning. God, give them a peace where there's been an unrest. Lord, fill them with faith where there's been doubt. God, I ask right now that you would heal their bodies, Lord. Heal them, God, from the inside out. God, every part of them that's hurting, Lord, I ask that you would give them peace right now. Lord, I ask for restoration of families in this place today. Lord, I thank you for binding those chains of addiction. God, you know every single person, Lord, they should be here. God, you're drawing them, and God, you're stirring them. And God, I thank you, Lord, that the devil cannot keep them out of your place. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all may be seated. Now here's how church works. We preached a message last week, what is church? And coming from somebody that's been in church their whole life, sometimes if church is just church, it can become very mundane, very routinistic. Church shouldn't be that way. Church should not be that way. This is a place where you can let your hair down and you can let God come in and change your life. I'm preaching a message this morning called Get Behind Jesus and Touch Him. Let's go to Mark chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 25. And it says here, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, and she had suffered a great deal. And what I can say is in this day and in this hour, there are people all over and they've suffered a great deal. It may be suffering in their family. It may be suffering in your marriage. It may be suffering in your finances. It may have been suffering in your mental state, your mental health, your physical body. See, there's a lot of suffering going on, and there's a lot of believers just taking it because they want to look righteous and they want to look like everything's okay. Let me tell you something. You don't got to come up into this place and look like anything other than what's actually real. Amen. See, God wants people all over the world, Crystal, every believer, He wants them to keep it real. A lot of people go, oh my God, I can't believe that crazy blonde-headed preacher said that. Yeah, I said it. Why? Because it's truth. Because it's truth. It's the only thing, truth is the only thing that I know of that sets people free. When God can get the believer to walk in truth, He's going to get that believer to walk in every single part of him that he has for him. Your health, your wealth, your everything that you are is going to line up with God's word by activating that one thing that he says, be truthful. Be truthful. A lot of people lie to themselves. I've lied to myself. Over this corona, I've gone, I haven't gotten really that chubby. Well, yeah. Got to buy some different pants because I got too chubby to fit in the ones I done had. Well, yeah, I got to quit that line. Brother Charles is going, oh, my God. Brother Charles has been with me since I was about less than a year old. He was one of the reasons I got one of my worst whoopings in my life. It was all Brother Charlie. And I love Brother Charlie. And I just like to poke fun at him. But see, there's believers all over, and they're in suffering, and they're in bondage. And I'm here to tell you this morning that you don't have to suffer. See, there was a woman, and we're reading about her today, where she suffered a great deal. Now, God is not a child abuser. God is not somebody that loves to see his children suffer. Does anybody in here, who all's a parent? Raise your hand. How many of you really love to see your children suffer? How many of you say, now, when my kid's suffering, whatever it takes to get that suffering to stop, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. See, imagine God, and he says, if you being natural give good gifts to your children. See, if you love your children and your flesh and blood, imagine how much I love my children. And here this lady is, and here we are all over the world, and God's saying, now my kids, they're going under a great deal of suffering. Let me tell you something. God's got a victory. For every place in your life where you say, God, I'm suffering. For every place where you say, God, I'm hurting. For every place you say, God, I failed and I don't know how I'm going to do better. See, God's got you right up in that place. Many people think, I got to go to Jesus and I got to make this right. Well, yeah, you do. But you know what? Here's a key to Jesus. He comes to you also. He meets you right up in that place. See, God's not a God that wants to whack you over the head every time you make a mistake. Because for some of us, including myself, we just be getting whacked in the head every moment. No, God's that God in Revelation where it says, now behold, I stand at the door and I knock. See, God's not that mean God. He's the God that stands there, Mike, and he waits. And he says, I'm knocking. I'm going to get that child of mine to begin to hear me. Why? So they can let me come in. So they can let me come into their life and fix that part that keeps going wrong. So we have this woman, and it says she had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, and she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had. And what I can see is this parallels perfectly with the world that we live in today. Because I can look and I can see believers and they've spent all they had. Every bit of emotion that they had, every bit of feeling, every bit of everything that they had, it's like they spent it on the wrong thing. They spent it and they're numb now and they can't feel God. You ever had those periods in your life where you say, God, I can't feel you? Now come on, let's be honest. We get numb. You ever been numb? You think, God, not only can I not feel you, but God, I can't feel anything. I've been there. If I preach about anything real good, it's because I've lived it. I've lived that. This woman, she spent all that she had. Diana, sometimes we spend all that we are, all that we have on something, and God's saying, look here, I've got you, I've got you, I've got you. And it says she spent all she had, and yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. And there are situations that have come up in my life where I'm sitting there and I'm going, God, this thing is getting worse. You ever been there? You're thinking, now I know you said I got the victory, but God, this, I just want you to know this is getting worse and worse as the time goes on. It's getting worse. See, God is not intimidated by the severity of the issue. God's not intimidated by anything. It said instead of getting better, she got worse. I've had those situations. I tried everything that I could do to make them better, but they got worse. And it says, and when she had heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Another translation says, she came up behind him. She struggled to get there, and she was able to just grab a hold of the hem of his garment, and she touched him. Now, what I'm going to ask you today is this right here. I'm going to make a plea to you. I'm going to try to steer you in the rightest direction that I know. I'm going to ask you today to get behind Jesus, your brother, your Lord. I'm going to ask you to get behind him and begin to touch him. I'm going to ask you to get behind who he is, what he says that you can have. When God says that you can have your family back, I'm here to tell you, you can have your family back. When God says you can have your marriage back, I want to tell you, you can have your marriage back. But it's going to take some hard things on your part. What's it going to take? You got to get behind God. You got to get behind what he says to do. See, a lot of people, they say, I want God's will. Let's take a vote. Who wants God's will? Amen. See, everybody that's normal would say, yeah, I want God's will. Till God says what his will is, and then we're like, oh, now God? Did you miss that part where I don't like that person? I mean, is it really your will for me to forgive them? Because I ain't digging that. I ain't into that. God's going, yeah, that's the thing that's standing in between me and you. That's it. See, when you can get behind who Jesus is, what is Jesus? He is the author and he is the finisher of your faith. He is the one that said, now, I began a good work in you and I'm not gonna stop. I'll finish it. See, God's the one constant in your life that he ain't going to take up that plow in your life and go and abandon it. See, he's the one constant thing. And if you can get behind him today and you can say to yourself, see, this woman, she said to herself. And that's where many of us, we miss it because we're saying the wrong thing to ourselves. We're saying this is never going to get any better. They ain't never going to change. That situation going to always be that way. I'm never going to be okay. This will never work out. See, what are you telling yourself today? Because what I've learned is that even the sanest of people talk to themselves. I got one amen on that. I'll take it. Even the sanest people talk to themselves. I can either talk myself into having a good day or talk myself into having a really bad day. You know what I do on them bad days? I don't wear that pastor shirt. Now look, y'all supposed to laugh at that part. I really have a pastor shirt. One time I wore it and I decided I wanted to show out at the grocery store in Russellville, and God said, Kelly, can't be doing that. See, the devil gets you up in something. You think, I'm going to show out. Because ain't nobody going to ever know it. No, God's going to know it. God's going to know it. See, what I'm asking you to do this morning is to get behind Jesus. Get behind him. Get behind what he says about your life. What does he say about your life? He says that you already have the victory. He says you're healed. He says, no, this is working. You do have the victory. But you got to press in there, and you got to begin to tell yourself the right thing. There have been times where I've stood at that door in faith and in a broken heart, and I've stretched my hand out, and I've said, in Jesus' name, I plead the blood of Jesus over my loved one, over my family. God, I see them walking through this door. God, you're not a man that you should lie. God, I thank you right now for restoration in my family. See, you're telling yourself one thing or the other. That's why the Word of God says, now you choose. What you're going to live with today? Are you going to live with a blessing or you're going to live with a curse? Are you going to live with life or you're going to live with death? Because see, you making that choice. You making that choice. Now, I know this is intense. I'm an intense person. That's why when people come, they either know instantly that they love me or I had one person say, I said, how did so-and-so like the service? They said, well, all they said was, she's a lot, isn't she? They don't even know. Ask Brother Jeremy. So it says here that when she had heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. When she had heard about Jesus, what have you heard about Jesus? Have you heard that he loves you today? Have you heard that he's going to perfect the things that have concerned you? See, if you'd really get in there in your heart of hearts and you'd realize, you know what, God, there's things that I've heard about you, but I haven't put them into action. God, I thank you right now because, see, I'm going to position myself for the victory that you already said that I already have. See, most people, they will not position themselves behind Jesus Christ, and they wonder why things keep coming up in their life. God, why is this all? You ever come up to something in your life and you think, why do I keep getting into this same thing? Many people do this with relationships. Yes, I'm about to start meddling. You can't pick from that 5-gallon bucket that you kept picking from when you're not saved. You got to get in that other bucket and you got to look at Jesus and you got to say, now Jesus, pick me one out of there. What is that? Leaving the choice to Jesus. Many people say, I want what God wants for my life. And God will tell you your first step to walk towards what he has for you. And you'd be like, nope. Nah. Not going to do it. And it says, because she thought to herself, she said to herself, how many thoughts are in your everyday? How many thoughts do you think and you think, I pray to God nobody ever can see this thought. Not very nice. I shouldn't be thinking them thoughts, but I'm going to overindulge just like I do on Netflix, and I'm going to continue to think that because ain't nobody going to know that thought that I just had, and it was ugly and juicy, and I'm just going to dwell on it for a little bit. I'm going to overindulge on it. Then I'm going to put some chocolate syrup on there, and I'm going to eat it up some more. Well, see that lady. She had done dealt with that problem for 12 years. Some people have been dealing with problems and it's been a lifelong issue. In 2018, I was blessed enough to be able to join Celebrate Recovery. And what I realized in that moment was I had problems I didn't even realize that I had. Problems that had messed me up my entire life, and I never knew why. When I came back full circle, why every part in that place, every time I got to that place in that road, it was a failure. Because see, God wants to look at you and he wants to do some little examination and he wants to say, now right here, if you'll change that spot, if you'll change that way that you do it, that way that you look at it, I'm going to give you the victory. A lot of people, they don't want to get behind what Jesus wants because it's going to require them to change. How many of you people just love change? Me neither. But I've learned to embrace it. Why? Because something good will come out of it. Something good will come out of it. Why? Because God says in his word, I'm going to work this thing out for the good of those that love me. For everybody that loves me. And you're in a spot right now. You're in a tight spot where you feel like I'm struggling. I've been struggling, God, and I don't even know what it's like to be normal anymore because I've struggled so much in my life with this thing. God's saying, if you'll get behind me. Get behind me with your decisions. Get behind me with your life. Get behind me with your thoughts. Get behind me with your words. Get behind me in your prayer life. Get behind me when you open up the Bible and I want to tell you exactly where to go. There's so many people and they say, I don't know which direction to take in my life. I don't know. Let me tell you something. Get yourself up. Shake yourself off and say, God, you said in your word, now my sheep, they hear my voice, and a stranger, they will not follow. And God, in Jesus' name, God, as I put you first, God, I thank you right now that this little sheep begins to hear your voice. And God, I thank you when the voice of the enemy comes. Lord, I don't follow that voice. I follow what you said to do. Now, you have to work out your own salvation. Now, the problem with that is sinners and saints have one thing in common. You know what it is? We all nosy. You ever see somebody on Facebook and you're like, oh, just when I thought I was going to get off of Facebook, no, this is way too juicy. I'm going to stay on here. Yeah, I knew that about that person. Ooh, I can't believe they did that. Yeah, I never liked them. That's what people do. Over and over. Why? Because we nosy. Word of God says, work out your own salvation. Why does it say that? Because God knows we're nosy, number one. And number two, if we actually begin to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, what we're going to find out is we enough work without dabbling in somebody else's mess. I don't know about y'all, but when it comes to working out my salvation, I got my work cut out for me. I don't got that energy to get myself wrapped up into somebody else's stuff. Now, I will say, in my profession, many times I get dragged up into somebody else's mess. And guess what God does for me? He gives me the grace to do what I'm called to do and then to go back to my thing and pick up where I left off in my own life. And it says that she thought to herself, if I just touched his clothes, I'll be healed. See, what are you thinking about yourself? And what I want to tell you is this right here. When you begin to think about the living God that says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I want you to think about what would happen if you really touched who he is. If you really reached out and you got a hold of him and you didn't let him go. If you got a hold of him and you gave the next 10 choices to him. What would happen in your life? See, it's not enough to just hear God's word. You have to do it. And doing it is the hardest thing to do. Because at points, it's going to make you uncomfortable. At points, you're going to be standing on your tippy toes to be that person that you feel like God wants you to be. Why? Because I don't know about y'all, but there's days where I wake up and I don't feel just as saved as I did the day before. I feel that flesh wanting to get a hold of me. Now, I know nobody else has mean thoughts, but I do. I have my days where I feel like, ugh, I'm not going to mess with that. No. I don't care what God wants me to do. I ain't doing it. See, we all have our days. But what are you thinking to yourself? What are you thinking to yourself? What are you telling yourself? I want you to start looking at that situation that looks so big to you, and I want you to start saying, God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I line up myself with the Word of God that says, if I'll do what you've told me to do, God, it's working out for my good. God, it doesn't matter what the situation looks like. God, it matters what you said. There's so many people, and they are wrapped up in what everybody else is saying, everybody else's opinion. It doesn't really matter what they say. In the big realm of it, it matters what God says. What did he say about your life? Did he say, now, when you're bad, I'm not going to have nothing to do with you? No. On the contrary, he said, I'm going to always be with you. You place it in your heart. You tell your heart. You tell yourself, today I'm going to touch him. Today I'm going to touch that part of Jesus that says I can be healed. Today I'm going to touch that part of him that says I don't have to walk in depression. Today I'm going to touch that part of him that says, yes, my family can be restored. Today I'm going to touch that part of him that says, you know what, I'm the apple of his eye and that he loves me and that I've not gone too far. Amen. There's too many people that say to me, I feel like I've gone too far. No. The devil went too far in your life, and it's high time you stand up and kick him out. People sitting back, and they're so drunk on their problem, the devil's getting a free-for-all. People need to sober up in their mind, and they need to get there, and they need to say, now, devil, you're leaving here, and you're leaving right now. Devil, you don't have any place in my life. And right now, in Jesus' name, I bind you up. I tell you to go. And God, right now, I loose that peace into my life. See, the Word of God says I need a binder and I need a looser. When's the last time you just had a session with Jesus and you just began to come against those things that are coming against you in your life? It's like the grocery store. How many of you love to eat good food? I do. I love that. I went yesterday, bam, and I thought, I'm hungry. I'm going to go to the grocery store. You know what I did? I know I looked crazy. I got six big trays of steak. I was like, I don't even care to eat nothing else. This week, I'm going to have some steak. Look here. There ain't nothing else up in the house besides steak, Brother Charlie. Guess what? I don't care. See? You see something in your life and you say, God, that ain't going good. You get yourself up. You shake off that fear of failure, and you get up in there and you roll your sleeves up and you put your hand to the plow and you begin to go forward. See, in the beginning of 2019, well, actually at the end, I said, Lord, I have always wanted to play the piano. Yes, God, me. I don't have a musical bone in my body. If I stand next to the wrong kid in praise and worship, I'm going to be off. Because, you know, them kids have trouble keeping the beat. And the only one that has trouble more than them is me. And I'm like, and then I'm looking over there. Who's on beat up in this church? Usually it's somebody over here. I just look over there and I'm like, okay. And I said, God, I've always wanted to play the piano. God knows the desire of your heart. When you give it over to him, he'll help you. Well, I got Miss Monday, and she's been helping me since December. Mom's smiling under her mask. I can see her wrinkles are smiling. She's like, oh, God, Kelly's playing the piano. Yes, Mother. So the other day I got up in there, tyranny. I don't have a musical bone up in my body. I'm just clanking around. And we is in another key. And I ain't quite established that in my head what even that means. But we was not in the key of C. We was in the key of G. Which means you got to be over here on the piano in a place you're not used to. Well, I don't like doing that. I like to do what I'm used to doing. That's my problem. This Monday, she's about 1,000. She looked at me and she goes, I know what your problem is.
Thank God somebody's finally figured me out. Please enlighten me because I want to know.
And she goes, you only do what's easy for you. You need to get over here, scoot over on that bench, and roll your sleeves up, Kelly, and begin to do the things that don't come easy to you. In that moment, I knew that was Jesus saying that to me. Because there's been so many times that I've said to myself, God, I can't do this. God, I can't do that. God, I don't want to go here. God, I don't want to be around this person. God, I don't want to this, and God, I don't want to do that. And God was saying in that moment, you better roll your sleeves up, and you better get in there in the thick of that thing and begin to do the things that don't come easy to you. Why? Because that's going to be the things that get you all the way where you want to go. Most people, they won't get up out there in any other type of thing besides the groove that's normal to them. And let me tell you something. Many times that's what's messing us up. We won't get out there. We won't make them little changes that are going to make the biggest of differences in our lives. And it says that she said to herself, if I could just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. And immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. She felt it. We live in such a touchy-feely world, and it's so crazy because we live in a touchy-feely world where you can't even get on Facebook without seeing somebody offended about something that somebody else done. And you're going, when did everybody get so uptight? And then in the same hand, everybody's all touchy-feely and uptight, but everybody on this other spectrum is numb and can't feel anything. It's the craziest thing. We're fickle. On one hand, we're all touchy-feely. We get all offended about silly things. And on the other hand, we can't even feel that thing inside of us that says, I want you to be free from that once and for all. What are you saying to yourself? And it says here that she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. And at once, Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. And he turned around in the crowd and he asked, who touched my clothes? And you see, the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? See, when you really get up in there and you really touch Jesus, you're going to know it. People around you are going to know it. And Jesus is going to know it. Why? Because see, as we see, power left his body. In another translation, it says virtue left his body. He felt it go. When was the last time I was talking to my aunt? And I love her dearly. She's one of the smartest women I've ever met. And she said this, Kelly, if people would go to the throne instead of going to the phone, we'd change some things about our life. I ain't never heard it put like that, but ain't that the truth? If we'd go to the throne instead of going to the phone all the time, you ever got your phone out and you looked and it said 8 hours of your day was spent on it? When's the last time that 8 hours of prayer equaled to what you were doing? When's the last time those two categories of your life were equaled out? Amen? Have you spent as much time on your phone as you spent praying with the Lord? When you got that bad news, when you had that rough spot in your life, what did you do? What was your first reaction? Many times my first reaction ain't right. Why? Because I want to get somebody that's going to agree with me on the way I think about the deal. Why? because we like that. Not only well, we're nosy, but we got to have some company. We got to have that company in there that tells us, yeah, you're right by being offended at that person. Go on. Yeah, I would be offended at them too. Yeah. What does that do to people when we get that going on? It makes it to where we're tainted and we can't hear that voice of truth saying, no, you messed up. You going through that because you did wrong. No, you need to forgive that person. And so it says here that he realized that somebody touched him, because when they touched him, the power left him. There was power. There was virtue. There was healing that left his body and went into somebody else. And he said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples were going, there's a lot of people around you. How did you know? It's called a negative Nancy. And it says, you see the people crowding against you. And his disciples answered, and yet you can ask who touched me. But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, she told him the whole truth. When was the last time you just got on your knees and you told God the whole truth? You said, God, I keep coming up to this place in my life, and every time I do, I don't do it right. There's something ain't right. And God, I'm going to tell you the whole truth this time. I started this message out saying, now, truth is the thing that will set you free. Truth is the thing that will come up in you and say, no, you need to change that. Change it. Give it to me. Let me do it. Let me change you. She fell at her knees, and she began to tell God the whole truth. God, here's what happened. I told myself. I talked myself up. I'd suffered for 12 years, and I told myself, if I could just get up in there beside you and touch you, God, I told myself that I knew I could be healed. When's the last time you just told God really how it was in your life? God, I'm sorry. God, I've made a mess of things, and God, I'm so sorry. God, if you can come in and you can help me make it right. God, I'm going to do better. See, a lot of people, they think that life with Jesus is like McDonald's. Let me tell you something. You ain't going to drive through there and just be like, God, I messed up again. I know you're going to give me a second chance, so I'm not going to talk to you no more today. I'm just going to take the second chance. No. You need to slow down. Because history has a problem and it repeats itself unless there's a change that's made. Get on your knees. Tell God the whole truth. When you tell him, reach out and touch him. And he said to the woman, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Diana, it wasn't even Jesus' faith that healed that woman to begin with. He said, your faith. Why? Because she told herself, if I'll just get next to my Lord and I'll touch him, I'm going to be healed. Jesus looked back and he said, now who touched me? See, she knew in her heart she had touched Jesus, because the moment that she did, it said immediately she felt in her body, she felt that suffering subside that had been there for 12 years. See, how much longer do you want to live with something not being right up in your life? Let's go to Luke chapter 6. And we're going to look at verse 17 through 19. And here's again. And it says, he went down with them and stood on a level place. And I want to tell you something. For anybody in here that thinks that Jesus won't come and stand right by you, let me tell you something he does. You see, over in his word, all over the place, Jesus came down and he stood by me and he strengthened me. And we see here it says, he went down with them. See, God's not the God that's going to be like, they have messed up. I want them over here and I'm going to be over here. Because I don't like people that mess up. No, he's the God that says, I'm going to go down there. I'm going to go with them. And it says, a large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by evil spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him. See, here's all these people, and they all trying to touch Jesus. Why? Because they know he's the only thing at that point that's getting them where they need to be. That's the only way. Have you come to that place where you know, God, you're the only way. You're the only way this is working out for me. See, some people still trying to go off of all their intelligence thinking, I can make this happen. No. You might can make it happen. Is it going to stay? Is it right? Or is it just kind of glued together? And the first moment life actually happens, it's going to fall apart again. And it says, the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing all of them. See, whenever you touch Jesus, power is coming out. In Genesis, it says, now look here, children, have dominion. What does that mean? Have authority. I gave it to you. When something is up with your life and you're thinking, oh, you're all freaked out about it. My God, this is the biggest thing I've ever been through. It's not going to work out. Yeah, it's working out right now. God's making it work out. Get over on the other side of this problem and begin to touch him. Touch that part of him that says you have victory. Touch that part of him that says, you know what? It ain't over till I say it's over, and it ain't over because it ain't fixed. Next place for me, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 16, I want to tell you today, I want to give you some advice. I want to give you a nugget. Therefore, we do not lose heart. If you've come to that place and you think, I don't know how much more I can take. God, I just want to give up. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. You got it. You got it because God's got it. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. God is renewing you day by day. God is restoring you day by day. God is healing you day by day. God is making things work out in your favor day by day. When it looks otherwise, you tell that situation, you speak to that mountain, and you say, in Jesus' name, this is working out. In Jesus' name, this is coming in order, because I don't serve a God of disorder. I serve a God of order. And God, you said that you would establish every step of a righteous man. And God, I'm going in your direction. And God, I thank you that every step that I take, God, it's on that ground that you'd have me to walk. And it says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. What you're going through right now is not permanent. You are going through it. You are going through it. The devil wants you to look at that and be overwhelmed and think, oh my God, this is just a permanent thing. It's going to always be like this. No, it's not. Take a step back. Take two steps back if you need to. Get a hold of yourself. It's a light and momentary trouble that ultimately God has in the palm of his hand. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen. Stop looking at the situation and thinking it's so much bigger than me. It's not bigger than God. Get yourself a right perspective. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. She couldn't see the healing, but she knew if she reached out and got to him and touched him, she knew that she would feel the healing. And what happened? She touched him and immediately she felt that healing take place in that body. Why? Because she was telling herself, when I touch him, that healing is going to take place in my body. Tell yourself, when I touch the hem of God's garment, that marriage is coming in line with what the Word of God says that I can have. When I touch the hem of who he is, my children that I'm concerned about and that I'm telling God I'm worried, that's coming in line with what the Word of God says about your children. Last place for me, 1 Peter. Chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. There's a due time coming to God's children that's been suffering. I don't know what you came up in here suffering with today. I don't know what you came in here heavy-hearted about today, but God knows. Your pastor doesn't have to know everything about your life. Get on your knees and tell them the whole truth. Why? Because when you do, you're going to touch who he is, what he says about you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you. I want to tell you this morning that if you don't hear anything that I've said, I want you to know that God cares about you. I want you to know that God sees you. God doesn't hate you. God is not mad at you. God accepts you right where you're at. He wants you to reach out to him. He wants you to touch him. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. What I have to ask you this morning is, have you gotten behind Jesus? Do you need to get behind him? Do you need to reach out and touch him? Do you need to tell him the whole truth? Do you need him to show up? Have you gotten to that point to realize, God, I need you. God, I know that the moment that I touch you, God, you're going to put a freedom here where there hasn't been. God, you're going to put a peace there where I've been messed up about this situation. God, where I've been broken about it. God, where I feel like I haven't gotten the victory. God, I know that you're going to come through. I want to ask you this morning, if this is a place in your life and you say, Jesus, this is me. And this is the start of me telling you the whole truth. God, I'm going to begin to touch you in a way that I haven't before. God, I'm giving you those decisions that I've not. I just see somebody, and in the same area of your life, you got your hands on it. And God's saying, if you'll take your hands off, if you'll take your hands off of that. Why? So he can put his hands on it. So he can put his hands on it. When I first started piano tyranny, it was so hard for me because I don't have a musical bone in my body. Sarah, I sat down on that piano one day and I was frustrated and I wanted to give up. And God said, Kelly, I ain't called you this far for you to give up on anything. You ain't giving up. You're going over. And I put my hands on that piano and I said, God, in Jesus' name, I ask you to put your hands over my hands. God wants to begin to put his hands over your life in a new way. Now, if that's you and you say, God, I need you right here, this message that I've just heard, Lord, I know I need to act on it. I'm going to ask you to stand. Why? Because God is meeting you right up in that place where you need that breakthrough, where you say, oh, this keeps coming up and it's wrong every time. I don't know why I can't get the victory over this, but God, I need your help. God's right there. God's in this moment with you. See, every angel in heaven is seeing you. Every demon in hell He knows that victory is coming. Why is it coming? Because it's already yours. You just standing up here and you claiming it. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, all over the building, God, I pray right now. Lord, I thank you right now, God, that each person, Lord, they're reaching out and they're touching you. God, I thank you for breakthrough in the lives of your children. God, I thank you where the devil has come up and he's tried to make things look so much bigger than you, God. Lord, I thank you that you are the Alpha, you are the Omega, you're bigger than any problem. And God, I thank you for that victory right now. Lord, I call the victory in, God, from the north and the east and the south and the west. I call in victory for your children right now. God, in every area where the devil would want to come in and cause havoc and grief and depression and stress and anxiety, I bind that up right now in Jesus' name, and I tell it to go to hell right where it came from. And God, right now, I loose the spirit of peace. I loose the victory, and I call it done right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all, we've got some milk and some things in the back. We gave some out earlier. If you want to go back there and get some, please do. We've got about 10 or 12 more gallons of milk and a couple other things. Y'all are welcome to go into the fellowship.